morning. Thank you so very much for joining us. Jane Mantenere, Greg Bach, Calvin on the board, coming to you live from our studio in beautiful downtown Waukesha, 844-967-2789 if you ever want to join us. Or you can leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that Elon ruined. We always check those as well. Just a reminder, download the Civic Media app.
How much is that app again?
The app, Greg Bach, is free.
I don't believe you. Fake news.
No, it's true. The app is free. You can get it wherever you get your apps, and then you can listen to all the shows all across the Civic Media Radio Network, 20 stations across the state, wonderful shows all over the place. And you can also call and text directly from the app. So it's pretty handy.
And if you miss a show, you can download us as a podcast. Two episodes a day.
Yep.
Every hour broken up. And you can subscribe to that podcast and leave a review. 5 stars, please. If you think we are less than a 5-star, reach out to us, Matt and Air on Air at civicmedia.us, and tell us how we can improve, because those 5 stars really help.
Yes, they absolutely do. And if you have complaints, it's Greg Bach at civicmedia.us.
Yep, exactly, exactly. Those are answered by our interns.
Yes, our interns.
James.
James, our intern, fine. We're very excited to have our next guest with us in studio. He is running for the 5th Congressional District. Ben Steinhoff is with us. Good morning, Ben. Thank you for making time to stop in. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you guys for having me on the air.
Well, this is your first effort at running for office.
Yes, it is.
Why?
Oh, boy.
I mean,
why are you doing it, son?
Why, Ben? Why? No, it's a very daunting thing. Mm-hmm. And I think it's a very daunting thing for someone who's never been in politics. And so what was the impetus for you to want to get into this and run?
Well, it was a couple of things. First of all, my brother was a huge influence on that. He helped on Bernie Sanders' campaigns when he was living down in Georgia because he wanted to help flip Georgia blue. And ultimately that happened. Unfortunately, that didn't happen with Bernie Sanders, but, you know, he did his best. And just through talking with him about different policies and things like that kind of got me a little more interested in it. And I think my fiance, soon to be wife, March 15th, we're getting married.
Congratulations.
Thank you. So wedding planning is taking up a lot of time right now, too.
That's like 3 jobs.
It is a lot. Thankfully, she's doing most of that stuff because she knows that this is, you know, also pretty important stuff, too.
Pretty all-encompassing.
Yeah. But during the pandemic and everything, you know, I would come home being mad. I work in healthcare. I was a paramedic at the time. Mm-hmm. And so I would come home from work and, you know, be complaining about this and that and the other thing, you know, hearing different things on news and talking to her about it. She's not very involved in politics or things like that. So got to the point after, you know, like 4 or 5 years, you know, of her and I dating, she finally said to me one day, she's just like, Ben, I love you to death. And I love that you inform me of these things. But if you're not going to do anything about it, just stop. Like, yeah. You just have to stop.
Wow.
Put up or shut up.
Yep. And 2 months later, I was talking with my brother and decided to run for Congress because after the State of the Union, I saw the picture came out of Marjorie Taylor Greene screaming at Joe Biden. And guess who's sitting right in front of her? Scott Fitzgerald, the gentleman I'm trying to unseat.
All right.
Ben Steinhoff is our guest. As he just mentioned, he is running for the 5th Congressional District currently held by Scott Fitzgerald, who has been in politics for a long, 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 long
time. Who was
time.
Also handed that seat as a gift, in my opinion, from Jim Sensenbrenner. So it's time to take that district back.
When you were out talking to people now, and Ben, where is the 5th Congressional District? What does that all cover?
So the 5th Congressional District goes from Jefferson County, right outside of Dane County, you know, the Madison stronghold, goes from Jefferson County all the way over to Wauwatosa.
Oh, wow.
Essentially. So it's a pretty large district.
Yeah.
It is, you know, a lot of farmland and stuff out there. My fiance Vicky and I, we lived in Lake Mills. That was where we started out in our journey here in the 5th. Absolutely fell in love with Lake Mills. She got a job after she graduated her doctoral program here in Waukesha. And I figured, you know, I can get a job as a paramedic anywhere.
Sure.
And so we ended up moving to Waukesha. Fell in love with Waukesha as well. And, you know, like I said in the previous conversation, she finally said, you know, you gotta do something about it.
All right.
And so here we are.
And you're out there knocking on doors and just you know, like what is... We were talking about it before we went on air. You know, you said it's like 2 jobs and it takes up a lot of your time. What's your daily life like as a candidate now?
So as a candidate right now, a lot of it being a first time candidate in politics, mm-hmm. I have, you know, no connections. It took me about 2 months just to like file the paperwork, get my bank account, all set up and file with the SEC. I'm not a lawyer either. Yeah. There's a lot of legal jargon.
And you want to make sure you do that stuff right.
Yep. Because I've seen what can happen if you do that stuff incorrectly.
Oh, yeah.
But, so I'm trying to follow everything, you know, to the absolute T letter of the law. But as of right now, you guys know that there's a bunch of big elections coming up here in April, especially for the state assembly and things like that. So right now we are still knocking doors, canvassing. And although I am, you know, a national going for national office, I think the local elections right now impact us a little bit more. So we've been out canvassing, helping for like the 98th district and helping, you know, try and promote those candidates, knocking doors, you know, just kind of seeing where the public's at with them. And then the other, you know, 90% of my time is calling and begging for money, which I absolutely hate.
I'm sure.
But, you know, it's thanks to Citizens United. Here we are. And I have to cold call people and ask them for money. It was a big point of contention with me and my campaign manager because he's been in politics for a while. And, he, you know, he's raised a lot of money. He's ran Senate campaign, you know, gubernatorial campaign. Mm-hmm. So he knows, you know, where how to get money, how to fundraise.
Yep.
And I don't like doing that. And so it was a big back and forth with him and I, and he would, I could see him on Skype when we were doing these calls with people, he'd be sitting there waving his hands when I would just be talking to somebody about policies and, you know, just like getting, you know, the Wisconsin welcome.
Cause
I'm not going to ask you for money until I get to know who you are, you know, how many dogs you have, what are the kids up to?
Then you can ask for money.
Yep. Yes. And he would always be saying, you got 90 seconds with these people and I'm going on 5-6 minute phone calls. But, you know, it's all about swaying people to what you want, you know?
Well, in the beginning, I mean, I get that. I used to run campaigns as well. And my candidates, I would have to like, I'd be like a little kid pulling on their suit coat going, all right, time to go make some calls. But I do see what you're saying. And it is important to establish yourself, give them your story, ingratiate yourself, and then go in for the kill. And be like, hey, can I have some money, please? Mm-hmm. It's not, nobody likes doing it. I mean, there's records of, you know, like sitting congressmen who've been in there for 40 years. Like, it's the least, I hate
the
doing
worst
it.
Part of the job.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The worst part of the job. But you're going to have to raise a lot. Scott Fitzgerald, I'm sure, has a pretty big war chest. He's been there a long time. He's got a lot of context. So what are some of the policies that you think are important for Wisconsin? What would you like to see change here?
I mean, there's a lot of things I would like to see change. But what I'm currently running on, it's three things. I wanted to make it nice and concise, and I wanted something that all Wisconsin voters can get behind, whether you're on the left or on the right. So the three things that I really want to focus on are healthcare. You know, being in healthcare, working in medicine, I've seen how absolutely broken our healthcare system is, and going from all the way from the pre-hospital setting as a paramedic to the emergency department now in the OR. You know, you get to see it on every different level, and every level has its challenges. So the big thing I want to do with healthcare is with our 911 system. People would be blown away to find out that fire and EMS do not get along very well in most jurisdictions.
Interesting.
It's, when I talk to people about this, they give me the same look that you two are giving me right now.
Why
what
would
do you mean? Like,
why would you not get, why would they not get along?
A whole bunch of different reasons.
Can you tell us in a very diplomatic / political way? As not to make anyone upset. I understand.
I really think it goes back to just really strong, thick-headed people way back when.
Yeah.
And, you know, those rivalries never really healed. And, you know, I think that's a big part of it.
You all work in concerts together.
Exactly.
You have to.
Exactly. You know, and when's the worst time to get into a, you know, a tiff. A tiff is a better word than what I was going to say. you know, the worst time to get into a tiff is when somebody calls 911, your house is on fire, dog's inside, where's grandma? And we have two people standing there arguing over who gets to take the hose inside. You know, it's obviously I'm exaggerating a little bit with that just to make a point. But I just was blown away with how disconjointed 911, EMS, fire, and police all were in working with one another. And that goes all the way to jurisdictions, depending on what side of the street that you're on.
Right.
You know, if you fall over, have a heart attack, luckily you're on the even side of the street, you get the EMS station that is 2 minutes away.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, your neighbor, you know, Greg across the street, oh, sorry to use your name, but your neighbor across the street,
it could happen.
You know, falls over, has a heart attack. Unfortunately, he's on the odd side of the street. And so he's going to have the ambulance that comes from 20 minutes away.
Yeah.
You know,
so what legislatively can be done about that?
So this is going to be the hard part, you know, because everybody wants states' rights and all those different things. I really think that there does need to be like a nationalized standard for how we do 911, EMS, dispatching, things like that. I really think that that can help just to have a national standard. Obviously, different states have higher standards for paramedics, EMTs, and things like that. But I really think that we can set just, you know, a baseline. That this is what you have to have, and this is how we have to work together with one another. And then the main thing comes down to funding. You know, we're talking about money again. So I worked as a volunteer EMT in Lake Mills when I was living there. And right after Vicky and I bought our house in Pewaukee, we learned that the month after, the EMS department folded because they were not funded by the municipality. They were funded privately. So in order for us to raise money for, you know, new boots, new ambulance, drugs,
anything. Things
like that, anything, we had to do, you know, like chili cook-offs, pancake sales, you know, bake sales, car washes, you know, you name it. Just that's how we had to raise money. Obviously, in 2020, pandemic happened.
Right.
We're not going to have, you know, 75 people show up to have a pancake breakfast.
Yeah.
Ended up folding, you know, in 2022. And so now there's a private ambulance company that covers that jurisdiction. So, you know, things like that, it's a tale that's happening all over EMS in throughout the nation. And it's something that I think that people don't think about because nobody thinks about 911 until you call 911 and you go, oh, my God.
There's like, no one there.
There's nobody there.
Yeah. And you're not sitting there going, I'm hoping they're like, you know, you don't think about the funding involved in that 911 call and that and what who is going to be coming to your door. You just want someone to be there right now.
If you're just joining us, Ben Steinhoff is our guest. He is running for the 5th Congressional District in Wisconsin, the seat that is currently held by Scott Fitzgerald. If you have time for another break, we would another segment, we'd love to keep you on.
I'd love to.
We're going to talk more about what Ben would like to do in Wisconsin, so stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
She starts to cry. She takes a swing, man. She can't hurt. She don't mean no harm. She just don't know what else to do about it.
Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Sweet Kelsey is on the board. We're coming to you live from our studio in downtown Waukesha. Special guest with us in studio. He is running for the Wisconsin's 5th District Congressional candidate up against Scott Fitzgerald. Ben Steinhoff is with us in studio. Ben, we did have a question from Andrew on our texting line. How do your skills, Ben, as a paramedic help you deal with children? I mean, potential colleagues who do nothing but scream and rant.
It's funny you asked that. I was just talking to somebody, you know, trying to raise some money the other day, and they asked a pretty similar question, you know, like, how do your skills, you know, translate into what you're trying to do? And without even thinking about it, I kind of responded because I'm part of, like, our venous access team, so I help with, you know, like, difficult IVs and stuff. And so what I said back to him was, well, you know, I'm pretty sure if I can talk an angry 3-year-old into getting an IV that's going to help him, I can talk to an angry Republican to try and help flip their vote.
That's a really good point, though. It's about maintaining calm under pressure, right?
Mm-hmm.
You have to stay focused on what you're doing. You can't be easily rattled.
Mm-hmm.
And with your experience as an EMT, I mean, you got to be Mr. Cool.
And most importantly, when you're done, give him a lollipop.
Would that make a difference in the Wisconsin legislature if we did lollipops?
16% of lollipops would be accepted.
Do you think that would help? Yeah. We were talking about your concerns about 911 and emergency responses. What are some of the other things that you're hearing from people in Wisconsin that they would like to see addressed? I'm sure education is a big one.
Yeah, education is definitely a big one. You know, it's a real hot button issue right now all throughout the country. You know, most people are concerned about education, banning books, things like that. The thing that I'm more focused on is the funding that we have, or lack thereof, of funding in public schools. I think that if we don't have a strong public school education, then we don't really, you know, have much to look forward to after that.
Yeah.
So not just focusing on like children's education, it's also education advancement for adults. Because right after I started my career in paramedicine, I realized like, oh man, I really wish I would have just, you know, like gone back to school and like gotten my nursing degree or maybe even tried to be a doctor.
Sure.
But then you start looking into it and you look at the costs and they are, for most people, they're insurmountable, especially when you're working full time and you're only getting paid, you know, even as a paramedic, I was getting paid under $20 an hour. And it's, you know, it's something you can't really sustain. Plus, it's such an odd schedule that you're, you know,
sure,
working 24 hours on, you know, like every Monday and Thursday. And sometimes the classes that you need aren't offered on those days.
Yeah.
So that's a big thing that I would want to focus on, too, is helping get people into more advanced careers and helping them, you know, use what the skills that they've already had and use that to, you know, move forward in their careers.
And then finally, I know one thing when I was reading up on your website, it's, I don't want to even say it's controversial. I just say, you know, you're very bold about it, is about the legalization of marijuana. It's on your website. You are in favor of it and talks about the tax implications. Please discuss your point on that one.
Yeah, you made a great point on the website. It's a beautiful website,
WisconsinForBen.com.
So if you want to go there, it goes a little bit more in depth than what we can get into today. But that was kind of the linchpin of the other two things that I really wanted to focus on for my campaign. Because the main question after, you know, you can lay out all these beautiful policies and everything, first question, people are going to look you dead in the eyes and they're going to say, how are you going to pay for that?
Exactly.
You know, they're going to say that every single time. You know, most common answer from a lot of Democrats is going to be, well, you know, we should take some of that $850 billion from the Defense Department and use a little bit of that,
mm-hmm,
which I also agree with. But what we can do to create revenue is we can legalize marijuana nationally. Because just looking at the states, Illinois, they was at $418 million in taxes last year. And how many of those tax dollars came from Wisconsinites going right over the border?
A great deal from what I believe it's in the, like, quite a few percentage points in there. Between us and us going there in Michigan, yeah, you're welcome.
We have talked about this in the past, though, Ben, and have had some listeners call in who are concerned about completely legalizing recreational marijuana for folks who have had relatives who have had substance issues and still have substance issues. There is concern that this is going to open the door for more abuse. So would this tie in with additional treatment?
Yeah. And so if you look at, there's 24 states that currently have recreational marijuana on the books in their states. And with that tax revenue, every single one of those states gives it to, they give a portion of their funding to police, to education, and to addiction. They also do housing programs, alcohol and substance abuse recovery, and a whole bunch of different things like that. There has been, in Colorado, in 2016, they had $40 million of marijuana tax revenue that went just to public school construction.
Wow.
Yeah. So, you know, that's, we're talking about creating jobs and different things like that. They also had $105 million that also went to housing programs, mental health programs, jails, and to help build schools, like I said. So it's, I mean, that's just 2016, 2017. So that was, what, 3 years after they started, and it's only getting bigger and bigger every year.
And that's what we see with a lot of these states. It's they're the tax revenue, it just gets bigger and bigger and big. Colorado insanity is so much, they take so much money, and we could do so much good with it.
Yeah,
in Wisconsin, I mean, it would be amazing to see what we could do with the tax. Now, granted, there are some people who are probably like, give it back to the people because they can't handle having a surplus, but I've said this before.
We could give back in education,
exactly,
you know, infrastructure, different things like that. You know, so that is giving back to the people, I think, because I wouldn't have been able to get here if we didn't have public roads that I could drive on.
Exactly.
You mean you didn't build that road yourself, Ben? What's wrong with you?
I didn't. It was built back in the 60s before I was born, so we might need a new one.
No more construction, not right now, please.
I do think that that's a valid concern, again, for people who have had loved ones who have been lost to addiction and things like mm-hmm. that. So it's important to fund that other component for treatment. Not that marijuana is a gateway drug for everybody. It doesn't work that way for everyone, but it is certainly a concern, I think, that's out there.
And it's a valid concern, but, you know, let's look at heart disease. How many deaths a year does smoking and alcohol cause? How many deaths on Wisconsin roads have been from alcohol consumption and alcohol-related fatalities? You know, opiate abuse is another huge topic that a lot of mm-hmm. people want to talk about. Yep. I know that we don't have, you know, a lot of time left in this segment to get into that. Like I said, you can go to wisconsinforben.com, look at more of these policies that I have a little bit more in depth. You can reach out to me on the website right there. And if you want, you know, I hate to ask everybody, but we do need money to help fund this operation. But you guys can go to wisconsinforben.com and learn a little bit more about me.
Ben Steinhoff has been our guest. He is running for the Wisconsin's 5th Congressional District, the seat currently held by Scott Fitzgerald. We will include all the links in our show notes, Greg Bach, once the podcast is posted.
Absolutely.
If you want to find more out about Ben and his campaign, best of luck. I give you a lot of credit. You're taking, it's quite an undertaking.
It is, but hopefully we have the people of Wisconsin behind us.
Ben Steinhoff has been here. Thank you so very much, Ben. Stay close. When we return, Mike Clemens, Civic Media's own, joining us live from Las Vegas. It's the most wonderful time of the year. That's on the way. You're listening to Matt Nair on air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Fluff's Bart Purdy and Chili take the toy to the 50. Fluff's Athena steps in and is looking for the takeaway. And we have a three-way tug of war at midfield.
This could be a while. Fluff's pecan and Ruff's cherry look on in disbelief.
Fluff, 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 fluff. Now it's just Bart Purdy and Athena battling for possession.
We have two-time champs, Team Fluff, led by defensive genius, Coach Shanahan. And a hungry Team Ruff, commandeered by longtime coach Nick Furiani.
Oh, God.
Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvin on the board, coming to you live from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always join us. Call or text at 844-967-2789. Of course, the big game is Sunday. Yeah, there's the one between the Chiefs and the 49ers, but there's also the Puppy Bowl. It's the 20th anniversary of the Puppy Bowl.
All right.
This Sunday. Mike Clemens joining us from Las Vegas. Are you as excited about the big game, Mike Clemens, as I am?
No, I realize I didn't apply for a credential to the Puppy Bowl. Oh, damn it.
Mike! You're missing out, dude.
Oh, God. I've actually never seen that thing.
You've never watched the Puppy Bowl?
No, Jane, because I'm at the game.
You're at the Puppy Bowl?
No, he's at the actual game. It's the 49ers and the Chiefs this coming Sunday, Super Bowl LV3, whatever it is. You can listen, if you want to listen to their game, you can catch it on WRCO Richland Center 100.9 FM. Our coverage starts this Sunday at 1 o'clock. Kickoff for the game at 5:30. You have been a very busy man this week, Mike Clemens, because you've been in Vegas all week, right?
Yeah, and, you know, what I do is there's two different stories. You can be on Radio Row, what they're now calling the media centers, like more podcasters there these days, et cetera. And they bring in, you know, former players, like Donald Driver was here yesterday. Joe Theismann, you know, great player with the Redskins, played with Mark Murphy, the Packers president, back in the 80s under Joe Gibbs, you know, Emmitt Smith, et cetera. And then there's the game. And so what I do is, you know, a bunch of us are together. We rent a house every year that we can spend some, save some expenses. I drive to the team hotel, so the AFC Championship Hotel with the Chiefs, and then on the other side of town to where the 49ers are. But it's, I told one of the NFL guys yesterday, this is the best media avail for me in sports all year, better than baseball, basketball, anything, because here I am, and I'm talking to Marquez Valdez-Scantling, a former Packers receiver, now with the Chiefs, about, you know, his friendship with Aaron Rodgers, and we're having a cup of coffee and a croissant, and I can talk to him for 20 minutes about PR people bothering me or the locker room and all that. And so I get some great stories when I come down here for this.
We were talking before you joined us, before Greg and I went on the air, just about, you know, you've been to the game 18 times. You've covered the Super Bowl 18 times. But I know you. We've known each other for a long time. You live for this stuff, and you live for looking for new stories and new angles, right?
Yeah, Jane. But you know what the thing is? You know, with all the interviews you do with people at different times of day, if you're interviewing a singer or something, like, you know, backstage, there's other concerns. But if you could go over to her house, you get a whole different kind of perspective. And at the Super Bowl, you know, these guys are guarded. They got to worry about a game plan. They got to worry about what, you know, the team might say if they step out of line or whatever. But when they get to here, this is the summit. Even though they're only 25 years old, they already realize this is probably the most important thing I ever get to do. And they open up. And they start telling their life story.
That's
and
so cool.
It's the easiest place in the world. Yeah, they tell their whole life story, things that they probably wouldn't say, because what, win or lose, right now they're there and they want to be remembered for something. And hopefully, you know, it's because they recovered a fumble, they got an interception, and not that they screwed up in the largest watched TV show here.
If you're just joining us, Civic Media's Michael Clemens is joining us on the phone live from Las Vegas. He's been down there all week in the lead up to the big game on Sunday between the 49ers and the Chiefs. When you and I were trying to set this up earlier in the week, Michael, and we were emailing back and forth, and at one point I said, try and get some sleep, because I covered one Super Bowl as well in New Orleans.
Oh.
We were there for that game. The caveat to that, though, is that we were there all week broadcasting, and then they didn't get us tickets to the game, so we had to come home.
Oh.
But anyway, I just remember how much work. It's a lot of work. It's a lot of work traveling to these different spots to get all these interviews. There's a lot of... So you actually said, I told you to get some sleep, and you said, I'm actually going to take a nap right now for an hour and 15 minutes.
Yeah, yeah. No, when you can. No, you know something? I forgot about that, the fact you did a week's worth of shows down there. And that was a unique Super Bowl, because the turnout of Packers fans with the beads in the French Quarter was something I don't think I've yet to see. It was just amazing. I must have been 250,000 people or more. And yet what happens to us, even in a place that's set up for conventions like Las Vegas, is the security, which gets tighter every year.
I bet.
Mean, you can't go down the hall without going through bomb sniffing dogs and unpacking your bag and going through the metal detectors and all that, just because of the world we live in.
Yeah.
And so I got caught up in a presidential thing the other day.
Oh, okay? That's right.
It was just crazy. I was with this crew, and the engineers are setting up stuff, and I go, look, I'll tell you what, I'll go get us a parking pass. So I went to the one office, then I went to the second office. They said, oh, they're over at Caesars. We're at Mandalay Bay, where the main, you know, NFL headquarters are. So I get an Uber, and I go over to Caesars Palace, and my driver goes, uh-oh. I go, what?
Oh, no.
And they were sitting on a roadblock. Air Force One was coming in 2 hours before.
Oh, my God.
Now I'm stuck in a cab. By the way, Greg, you know what if you ever watch that old show, taxi cab conventions in Vegas, on, you know, they're going up and down the strip.
Yeah.
You can't walk up and down the strip. They have fences because they were killing 4 or 5 pedestrians a month.
Yep.
So now it's a busy boulevard. Mm-hmm. And so it took me an hour and a half to get back when I was 10 minutes away.
Wow.
Oh my gosh.
Wow. Yeah. I can't imagine the crush of humanity that's in that town right now.
It's busy on a regular day.
Right. Right. It really is. I mean, it's still very exciting and all the different, hotels and the themes and things like that. But it's harder to get around because it is so busy here, and especially this week.
So what's up with you? What are you going to be doing now the next couple of days before the big game?
Well, today I'm going to go back into the media role because we're done. We did our last team interviews last night. By the way, let me tell you about Brock Purdy, the quarterback for the 49ers.
Who looks like
this kid wins it?
Who looks like he's 12 years old? By the way, he does. He looks like he's a
He's 24, Jane. But I'm telling you, I can't believe how poised he is. How great of an he's like another Manning. He could be another Manning just in terms of his persona, and his image. He would be perfect on a box, please, and everything like that, if he can win this game. But, yeah. You still got Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid. They're really good at the schedule. Now, I hear Jordan Love is here. And a lot of people were in town last night for that honors show. And so I'm going to go in there and see if I can run into the Packers quarterback and get a quick little interview with him and talk about things. So that's why I hear, hey, this guy's over here. So you run across town and you run into him. And you make great contact and get stories out of it.
Well, and as you said, too, you've been doing this for a long time. I'm sure you've developed relationships, and I'm sure there are some players who see you coming going, it's like, oh, my God, it's Clemens.
Don't tell him anything.
Mike Clemens is joining us live on the phone from Las Vegas. Are you going to be a big part of the pregame show here on WRCO?
Yeah, I hope to be, sure. And and then after that, it's the game. And then we get out of there about 11 o'clock, and then we had a tape till about 4 in the morning, and then we get ready for the morning shows. Yeah, it's just another day at the shop, sure.
That whole sentence just made me want to take a nap.
So wait a minute. I want to make sure that we have this clear. So you're going to be at the game, and then you have to do wrap-up of the game. And then
when you turn off the TV, there's about 2 hours of interviews, and I'll get to talk to about 30 to 50 different players and coaches. And then you have to get out past the security, and then you get on a bus, and that takes you to a neutral place where your car is parked. And you park, then you drive to where your hotel room is or your place that you're in, like this.
Okay.
And the equipment about 1 a.m. And then.
Did we lose you, Michael?
Yeah. And I said, then you sit down with all that audio, and then you begin to edit.
So you don't go to sleep then, do you?
No, it's an all-nighter. It's an all-nighter. But you know something? I used to think maybe I was an idiot until I saw a video of how Peter King, probably the best NFL reporter of all,
when
he writes his famous Monday morning quarterback column.
Yeah.
Same thing. He doesn't hit send until about 5 or 6 o'clock in the morning. So I felt better about this.
You got to be like those old baseball reporters who just wrote before the game even happened. And you're just like, and you don't have to really worry about who won. Just write so wonderfully that people don't care.
Back in the day, the baseball gigs before the blogs and then the Twitter and all that, they had the best gig ever. They rolled into the ballpark about 2. They talked to the manager. They watched the game. They filed one story. Went drinking with the players until closing time and repeated. Best gig ever.
The good old days of sports. The good old days of sports. We were talking a little bit about ticket prices. What is the lowest ticket price? Like
$6,300,
which that would be a really nice piece of jewelry, I'm just saying. what is it like where you watch the game? Are you watching like with all of the media outlets, Mike?
I'm in a press box now. They used to put us in auxiliary, and I would sit there with Sal Palantonio and Susie and the rest of the people from ESPN, and somehow I got into the last chair up at the press box. So it's there's people that pay $100,000 to where I'm sitting. I don't know how much longer they're going to let us do that. I kind of think they're going to start selling more of those tickets to some of these stadiums, but I'm knocking on wood right now that they still have a seat there for me. And it seems to have been, if you come, they monitor your work and they know all the stations that I'm on. And, eventually you kind of, you move up the chain there. So at least I can still get the story. But there's things that I used to be able to get into locker rooms post game and get some really dramatic stories, both winners and losers. And then we were in Atlanta and that knucklehead, a group that they left, they let in from some foreigners. They stole Tom Brady's jersey.
Oh.
And now, just like the Packers, I don't think I can get into that part of the locker room after the game anymore, which just, you know, it stinks. Somebody spoils it for everybody.
Absolutely. This is why we can't have nice jerseys.
Right.
Because there's always some knucklehead who's going to do that. Well, yeah. we're very excited to have you there. I'm sure you are very excited. As I said, I was only part of this experience once.
Yeah.
But it
That's
is
one more time than me.
It is a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And the biggest, I don't know, Michael, they're talking about now making Monday a national holiday. Where do you come down on that?
A national holiday for what?
For the day after the Super Bowl. So people don't have to take off work.
I'm okay with that because I could use the sleep by then.
I feel like you should get a holiday if you do the work that you're doing, Mike. Like everybody who's involved in the event, you get a day off. If you were just drinking at your buddy's house, slurping down chicken wings,
you gotta go to work.
You gotta go to UPS and work a shift.
Michael Clemens,
it's long hours, and I try and do this for the listeners, but really, they're paying me to watch football.
I know, right?
Boom!
Super Bowl is this Sunday between the Niners and the Kansas City Chiefs. You can listen to the game on WRCO from Richland Center, 100.9 FM. Our coverage starts with Mike Clemens in Vegas at 1 o'clock. The kickoff is at 5:30. Thanks so much, Mike. We will talk to you when you get back. Safe travels. Have fun.
See you, Mike.
Thank you, Jen. Thank you, Greg. Have a great weekend.
You too.
As well. Stay close. You're listening to Matt and Air on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Good morning. Welcome to Matt and Air on Air. Jane Matt and Air, Greg Bach, and the surgeon of sound, Calvin, coming to you live from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always join us, call or text at 844-967-2789. Mike Clemens from Civic Media just joined us on the phone live from Vegas. He's been down there all week covering.
Just having a terrible life.
He is having a terrible, terrible time. And as he mentioned, and as Rico pointed out on the live stream, he gets paid to watch football. Papa Rico also would like to be paid to watch football.
I'll tell you what, Papa Rico, I'll send you $3 on Venmo. Boom, you're employed.
Oh, yeah, we'll get you there. We'll get you there. So, again, if you want to listen to the game, if you're going to be on the road or whatever, you can listen. This Sunday, our coverage starts at 1 o'clock. The game kicks off at 5:30. You can catch it on WRCO in Richland Center, 100.9 FM.
Jane, what are you doing this weekend for the large game?
I am watching the Puppy Bowl.
That's what I meant. That was the question.
That is that is my big game.
Yep. Are you team Ruff or team...
I am team Fluff. Fluff.
You're team Fluff. All right.
I am team Fluff.
Okay. All right.
Last year, team Fluff pulled out an 87-83 win.
And they covered the spread.
Yeah. of course, they didn't start scoring the Puppy Bowl until 2015. So since then, Team Ruff and Team Fluff both have 4 Lombarki trophies.
That's right, folks. That's the name of the trophy for the Puppy Bowl.
It's the Vince Lombarki trophy.
I've told you before, and I'll say it again, ever since I got into the dog world, and I love my little puppers so much.
I know you do.
The dog puns are out of control.
I love them.
I know you do.
It makes me happy.
Did they give you, like, when you hear one, does it give you pause?
It does give me pause. And it makes me wag.
There you go.
Something else going on this weekend, if the Super Bowl's not your thing, if the Puppy Bowl's not your thing, laughter is always our thing.
Laughter's always served up, but even if those things are your things, you can still come to my thing.
You can
do all the things this weekend.
You can do all the things. Laughing Tap, what's up this weekend?
Martin Urbano is our headliner this weekend. He is going to be doing three shows, one tonight at 7:30, two tomorrow, 7:30 and 10 o'clock. You can go to laughingtap.com for more information. This young man's very funny. I described to him earlier that he's a dark comedian. He does darker jokes, but they're charmingly dark.
I don't mind dark.
Yeah, but they're not like, you don't feel bad for him. You're like, oh my gosh, you're.
I feel sad for you.
Yeah, it's just wonderful one-liners and set up punchlines. They're just a little on the darker side and a little on the, you know, a little naughty
side.
A little edgy. Yeah, but he's been on Comedy Central, Jimmy Kimmel Live. He is very funny, and we are very much looking forward to having him. But yeah, those tickets are available, laughingtap.com. I believe Saturday early is close to being sold out at this point, but
that means
you can still come to Friday early, or the Friday show, I should say, and the Saturday late show.
How many people does the Laughing Tap seat, Greg?
It holds 80.
Which is a really great size.
Yeah, it's perfect. It's a nice, intimate size.
Very nice and intimate,
When we get those, you know, I mean, not slagging off any of the other comedians, but when you get like a Bobcat Goldthwait in there, who is a comedic legend in an 80 seat room,
that's got to be crazy.
Very, very wonderful. It's an intimate experience. But yeah, there's tickets available for all three shows. Come on out. Tickets are $22 online, $25 at the door, and there are no drink minimums.
Nice.
So you can have a nice, affordable night of comedy in Walker's Point, which is where it's located on 5th Street. Once again, laughingtap.com.
Predictions for the Chiefs, Niners? I know Calvin, I'm not sure where you land on this. I am going for I'm going Team Taylor.
Yeah. Well, I'm going Kansas City for three reasons. One, my buddy Justin loves that team, and I like to see him happy. Two, I like Travis Kelce. I think he's a fun guy. He's very, very cool.
He seems like a decent human. He really does.
And then three, Tay-Tay. In no order either, but just, you know, they all. Resident young person, Calvin.
I guess I might be on the 49ers side. There's a couple of reasons.
Okay.
One reason is I don't want to listen to the online Discord of how it was rigged if the Chiefs win. I think that's just going to be obnoxious.
It's going to happen regardless. You know that, right?
Yeah, I mean,
if the 49ers win, I don't think anyone has a leg to stand on to say it's rigged. Because if we're talking,
if the Chiefs lose, then the conspiracy theory is that she's there, she ruined it.
No, I think people have this conspiracy theory that the NFL's scripted,
right,
and the Chiefs winning would be the script to
that really feeds their that really, feeds their narrative.
It feeds the script narrative. Really just want to listen to that.
Let me tell you something. If that is one of you out there and you believe in that conspiracy theory and you are a fan of wrestling, shut up.
Couple of comments on the live stream. We have Papa Rico is on Team Taylor. Steve Thomas, I bet they win by 13.
Nice, Steven. Nice.
And PJ saying, go Chiefs.
Have you seen, so Taylor Swift's favorite number is 13.
Nice.
And there's all these people are taking all these things and saying like, so.
Is it magical numbers now?
It's the magical number. Like it's 13 hours from Tokyo to Las Vegas where she'll be flying from. What else? There's the other ones too. It's Super Bowl 58, right? I believe, which adds up to be 13.
Oh.
I believe it's Kansas City is the first seed and 49ers are the third seed, or switch that around, but you still get 13.
These people have way too much time on their hands.
I know.
Way too much time on their hands.
That's the thing is, I'm going for Kansas City. I want to have a good time. If I go to that party, I'm going to have fun, eat some wings and some chili, and I'm going to scream Taylor Swift lyrics at my friend who just can't stand her.
I hope that Kansas City wins.
Yeah,
I really do. And then I really hope that Taylor Swift comes out at halftime and then just waves and turns around and walk back in and doesn't endorse anyone for president. That will, I can hear the minds blowing.
I hope she just pulls down a zipper on the middle of her face,
and she's
comes
an
out, and it's just Joe Biden the whole time.
Again, if you would like to listen to the game, you can catch it this Sunday. We have pregame coverage starts at 1 o'clock, kickoff at 5:30. Catch the game Sunday on WRCO in Richland Center, 100.9 FM. It's been great, great fun. Thank you so very much, everyone, for listening and for calling and for texting. We have news coming up next, followed by the great Todd Alba. I hope you find some joy this weekend, and I hope you have the chance to share it. Stay close. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.